Welcome back to Uncanny Trek's coverage of, well, it's a Superman show, I guess. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. We're talking about episode 3. I didn't even look up what the title was, but episode 3 of the Superman 2023 show. How you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bob. It's actually an anime reference. It's not Full Metal Alchemist. It's Full Metal Scientist, I think, is the name of the episode.
Oh. Well, usually I would hate that, but I'll say it's like half clever.
Yeah, it's pretty clever, actually. When I was going into this episode, I kind of had my hopes up a little high because I knew that we were going to finally see a character that I've always loved, John Henry Irons.
Hey, Matt, don't you mean John Irons?
Yeah, that's the first thing that pissed me off. Because I was like, it's John Henry Irons. He's named after John Henry, the myth, the American fable, the hammer.
The guy who invented rock and roll.
No, Bob, not the guy who invented rock and roll.
That is part. There's one theory that the term rock and roll comes from, like, the hammering motion of the minor guy, John Henry Irons.
Oh, well, I just learned something, Bob.
It's probably not true. It's probably an urban legend, but it's like an interesting urban legend.
It's extremely. Well, he also sang spirituals while he was hammering, so that just adds to it.
Yeah, so it's like the rhythm of the spiritual, the rhythm of the hammering.
Ah, fascinating. Well, we lost all of that in this episode.
Yeah, because they just, like, it's cool to call him Dr. Irons, that's fine, but if, like, you're, like, why call him John Irons, like, literally every time you mention him? If you're going to say his full name, why not say Johnny Henry Irons?
John Irons. It's kind of like Sarah Beth, you know? Some people are like, why do you have your middle name out loud all the time? But, you know, it's just necessary.
Yeah, no, sometimes you got to say the whole thing. I'm not going to say their names on the podcast, but I've had friends who it's like, no, I always call them by their first and their surname.
Oh. Well, I can say, Bob, that I got a slightly confused when they decided to call the robots in this episode Metallo.
Happy with Metallo, Matt?
It's not what I expected. I mean, it looks they're those same-looking robots I feel like we've seen with the Fleischer look to them.
Yeah, it was kind of unclear because they do look like the Kryptonian robots from Season 1 and even earlier this season, so... I don't think this is the case, but maybe I should give the show credit in its making fun of millennials and millennial tech entrepreneurs. And so this Thomas Weston guy is just maybe rebranding Metallo as his own thing. Maybe that's what we're supposed to take from it.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Bob, because it looks way too much like the other robots we've seen. Or maybe they're just not creative with their robot design in the show.
Yeah, they did it perfectly the first time, but then they just didn't have any other ideas.
And also,
so Matt, I did have a question about Metallo. So in the early 2000s Legion comics, Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning had what they called Metal Zero showing up in the Legion. And I always thought Metal Zero was a pretty cool alternative name for Metallo, but nobody ever uses it. Do you share my opinion, or do you prefer Metallo?
I do, Bob. Is it spelled like Metallo, or is it spelled Metal Tin?
It is spelled like Metallo, but with a zero instead of an O.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Weapon X thing, Bob. You know, that does make it way cooler. Because when you realize Weapon X is Weapon 10 or Weapon 8 or whatever, it's like it's a number. It's not just an X-Men thing.
Whenever you can reveal that a letter is actually a number, you're in a good spot.
Yes, you are. Very much so. But let's just talk about this whole tech company, Bob, and the CEO, Colonel Thomas Weston. Now, I don't recognize
In the comics, he's Colonel Thomas Weston. Here, he's a millennial, and that's the problem.
Oh, so colonels don't usually look like this in real life. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
They look more like General Lane hanging out in an apartment building, watching...
Never turning his back to the exit.
Watching war movies.
Was that what he was watching?
It was just a tank that was being shown over and over again on the screen. So he was watching war propaganda or war films.
Do you know those YouTube channels that are just like stuff for dogs to watch?
Yes.
Do you suppose that maybe he was just on YouTube like watching the stuff for army guys to watch?
I'm pretty sure there is a channel for that, Bob.
But I like to imagine that like Jimmy and Clark just put it on to entertain him,
right? Well, he's not doing any damn laundry. The house is a mess.
Yeah, we find out the real root of the bitterness of his and Lois's relationship is that he's never done a single thing of housework in his entire life.
Yeah, somebody needs to get rid of that dude.
I agree. I'm not enjoying the subplot of General Lane, Jimmy, and Clark's roommate.
Yeah, this has been pretty, it's pretty, pretty lame. But going back, Bob, to what I was talking about with the CEO guy, the CEO, he obviously is not connected because they show a commercial for these robots in this, you know, fusion generator thing that's going to be in the center of the city, which sounds so dangerous. Mm-hmm. But they show this commercial, and it's John Henry Irons talking about where he grew up, and it's nothing but little white kids.
Oh, that is weird. I didn't catch that, but you're right. That's very strange.
Which makes me believe that the CEO guy is he's not connected. It's not okay.
Did you recognize that name from the comics or perhaps from the Steel movie?
No, Bob, I have no clue who he was.
So in the comics, he's Colonel Thomas Weston. To be honest, I don't remember how they play him in the Steel movie, which I did watch a few years ago. But he's like the major enemy of Steel in the comics and the movie. And the same name of the company, was it Amtech? Was that what they called it?
Yes, Amtech, yeah.
I think in a lot of versions, that's Steel's former employer and, you know, his now nemesis because they're selling the weapons to, you know, street gangs or to, you know, Nicaraguan fascists or whomever, right?
I think I've seen clips of it, but I haven't actually watched it in its entirety.
It was one of those I put it on, like it was on Max, so I put it on while I did other stuff. I mean, it's not good, but I found it entertaining and, you know, about at the same level of quality as any other crappy 90s superhero movie.
I just can't believe that film got made to begin with.
Well, it was more about Shaquille O'Neal than Steel as a property.
Okay, kind of like how The Rock wanted Black Adam to be his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Makes sense.
And then another thing from the Steel mythos is Steel has an enemy who's like an arms dealer named the White Rabbit, who's a lady. And I was wondering if Audrey was maybe going to be the White Rabbit. But then I looked the White Rabbit up, and actually her name is Angora Lappin. So no, I guess Audrey is not, in fact, the White Rabbit, sadly.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about the White Rabbit, but she was quite the sex pot back in the 90s comics.
See, yeah, it's very, very telling. Matt does not remember Colonel Thomas Weston, but he does remember the White
Rabbit. Yes, she wore knee highs and like had, I think she even had ears.
Yeah, she did. You know, there was a conspiracy to turn our entire generation into furries, Matt. There's what else can you say?
Yeah, it didn't work, Bob. We survived.
It worked for a lot of people.
When I say we, I think you and I know I survived.
I am not a furry, but okay. It's So, Matt, is it a little annoying? I think we raised this in season one, but is it a little annoying that we have Vicki Vale in this show being a better Lois Lane than Lois Lane?
Yeah, Vicki Vale is your prototypical Lois Lane in this. Like, she has the look, she acts like Lois, her outfit even resembles to me the animated series Lois Lane, and she's not a child. She doesn't look anything like Vicki Vale, you know, from any incarnation I've ever seen her in. So I don't know what they're going for with it, but you've hit it there, that they're just trying to make her like the adult Lois, and the other Lois is learning from her.
Well, and to be clear, like, I don't hate this Lois. Like, clearly she fits with the thing they're going for that they're also doing with Clark and Jimmy. And I don't like it, but it's, you know, it's a choice. They're doing their choice. And like, I know there is some like weird internet hatred for this Lois, and I don't have any special hatred for this Lois, right? It's just, I don't like this angle the same way I don't like this angle with Clark and Jimmy, but yeah, whatever. I'm not weird about it. But it is weird to me, though, that the show, like, between Vicky and the multiversal Loises from last season, that they insist on, like, throwing it in our faces that, oh, like, there are other Loises who are more Lois. Like, if you're going to do a different take, just do a different take.
Yeah, they just want to dangle it in our faces and be like, hey, this is what you Lois, this is what the Lois you're used to would be doing right now. So here you go.
It just seems to me like, what if you did the Batman show, you know, the one that came after Batman, the animated series, with like the different animation, the different voice actor? You did that Batman show, the Batman, but then you constantly had Kevin Conroy Batman showing up and you just called him like the Gray Ghost. And I feel like that wouldn't be what you would want to do, right?
Well, Bob, I hate to tell you this, but what if that's exactly what they did? Remember when they brought the Gray Ghost in and he acted like it was Adam West Batman? Do you think people back then were like, yeah, man, they're dangling the Adam West Batman right in front of her face?
No, because they didn't do it constantly.
Oh, well, Vicky
and it was like
Vale's shown up a couple. Actually, she showed up twice, right?
But they also did the multiversal Lois. So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
we've only had 11 episodes of the show. At least a third of them have been dealing with this issue.
Yeah. Well, maybe they need to bring in someone to counteract Clark and have a better version of Superman.
I don't want that either.
They should bring in Superboy Prime or some shit. Make it all like...
Oh, man.
Or Hank Henshaw.
One other Vicki Vale point is that she does have a contact at Ray Palmer's company because, you know, Ray Palmer can't just be a college professor. He also has to be a millennial CEO entrepreneur like every character on this show.
Everyone has to be. That's the job everyone wants, Bob. Every millennial wants to be the CEO at 20.
Yeah, like, I mean, I get that. You know, cultural expectations change. Like, you have a bunch of scientists in the 50s. They might be different jobs in the 2020s. But still, it's just annoying that, I mean, I hate Elon Musk. I don't want to think about Elon Musk. And it's annoying that every character on this show is bootleg Elon Musk.
Yeah, well, get used to it, Bob. Get used to it.
Did you catch the mention of Natasha, Matt?
I did, Bob. And that's, you know, John Henry Irons' niece.
Don't you mean John Irons, Matt?
God, Bob, yeah, John Henry Irons, I will keep saying it that way, J-H-I. She yeah. eventually becomes Steel, right, or Steelette or
That's
something.
That's right.
Yeah.
I kind of call her Steelette to be for clarity in my mind, but I think officially it's Steel.
Okay, good, yeah. Well, Bob, we had another character show up in this episode, and I think he was in previous episodes too, but I may be wrong. It was Silas Stone. He did introduce himself, so maybe not, but I got him a little confused with our Young Justice coverage because they both decided to show up.
Yeah, okay. Now that you say that, Silas Stone was maybe in the first season of the show.
So he's definitely in cahoots here with the Irons. They're working together.
I was making coffee in the other room at the start of the show. And also, man, they had a different cartoon that they were advertising in front of this week's episode. And man, it was even worse looking than the bad cartoon that Adult Swim was advertising last week. It was like a reality TV show. Did you get that?
Yeah, I've heard of that show, and I don't watch it. It looked awful. Cartoon show.
Yeah, or like a cartoon parroting reality TV, to be clear for the listeners.
Total Drama Island.
Thank you. And then I've already mostly blocked out what the one from last week was.
Yeah, I have no clue.
But, I mean, maybe it's good that Adult Swim keeps having these ads in front of the episodes on Max, because then it's like, oh, yeah, all other American animation is apparently so much worse than this.
Well, Bob, I do want to tell you, do you realize that they changed the time now? I guess because after listening to our previous podcast, it's now 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or maybe Saturday. No, it's Sundays. Sundays.
I think they should change the time, but I don't think that makes it any more... Like, that's still a weird time. Like, why are you trying to make millennials and Zoomers recreate the Saturday morning cartoon experience, but on Sunday on a streaming app that you pay $20 a month for?
I guess. I don't know. But apparently that's what it's going to be airing. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I was like, okay. I'm trying to think of what else used to come on at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. The Phantom 2099 cartoon. That horrible Spider-Man cartoon with the space stuff, Spider-Man Unlimited.
Spider-Man Unlimited.
Yeah, I think what other cartoons came on Sunday mornings?
That's rough, man. Real rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make a difference for how I watch it. I guess it might make it more inconvenient for you.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah, I guess they did say something like that as I was making the coffee, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah. You got to get up early, Bob, to watch the show.
Yeah, that's important. But to go back to Silas Stone, yeah, so I missed Silas and John Henry Irons at the beginning of the episode. But then, yeah, later on, it's like they introduce Silas, or they talk about Silas to, like, Jimmy and Flip and Clark.
Yeah, his son is 10 years old in this.
Oh, I totally missed that. So we're going to have like a baby cyborg, like in that baby Teen Titans show from back when.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, so Matt, hold, yeah. This okay, I'm getting confused. Yes, this is with Livewire. Yes, Silas Stone. Yes, there we go. Sorry.
So is this the same Livewire that we saw in season one?
This is the exact same Livewire, Bob, except that her hair in the first season was done up, and now it's down.
And it looks terrible. I don't remember what it looked like in season one, but her hair looks terrible in season two.
Yeah, it's like a mullet on a woman. Yeah, that's the style for some people.
Okay. Poor Livewire. Why does she have to suffer like this? And then speaking of changes in character design, how do you feel about Steel being unmasked in the Steel suit?
Well, I thought you would be happy about it, Bob, because, you know, you don't have those shots of Steel, like, you know, in the dark looking at, like, computer screens and stuff. I wish they would have at least popped a helmet on and off occasionally, because that's just, that's a huge, just open target right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're right that the greatest evil is the Iron Man shots of Steel's face inside the helmet. That's the greatest evil.
Right.
But I feel like with Steel's design, it looks better if he has the metal helmet than if it doesn't. I mean, would you agree with that?
I agree with that 100%. Maybe when he designs his new suit, it'll have the helmet.
Well, yeah, it would seem not, since Luther confiscates it. Did you like this kind of, like, bulkier, like, alien style, like, you know, work suit design for Steel? Where were you at with the design?
Well, it fit the body positivity thing they're going for with Steel here, Bob. He's a bigger fellow, so he has to have a big-ass robot to sit inside of.
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting because he's a bigger dude, but he's also sort of ripped.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they were going
for. Like, in the arms, it seemed like he was kind of supposed to be pretty ripped in the arms, despite being kind of paunchy in the torso, if you get what I'm saying.
I liked that design. I like what they went for. I think the actual armor suit that they're going for, I think they'll continue to make it large, like, bigger. Yeah. I think they should just keep with that.
It's, like, different in that it's, like, a visual way to make him... Whereas sometimes Steel is just presented as, like, you know, Superman, but in gray tones.
Right.
Right. And this is a way to make him very visually distinct. So I think that's interesting. Oh. I will say, too, I don't love Superman, Lois, and Jimmy all being small children, as we've talked about many times before. But having Steel be older than them and sort of a mentor figure or a role model figure for Superman and Jimmy does sort of work, I think.
Oh, yeah. I like that dynamic they went with.
Are you enjoying this idea that Lois and Clark just don't have good enough communication skills, Matt?
But I don't even know what Clark needs to talk about. What was that thing in his
Supergirl.
Hand? Supergirl. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, because I have a cousin to her early in the episode.
So you're telling me they haven't gotten together since that last episode and talked about any of this, even though Sam Lane moved into their house?
Exactly. Yeah. This is a dark moment for me to end on, but I just want to say that in this era of Twitter and Flamebird and really annoying political journalists, I think the phrase, quote, in this reporter's opinion, just ought to be illegal. Oh, like, there should be freedom of the press, but there should not be freedom of the press to write that phrase.
I agree, Bob, 100%. Nobody gives a shit about your opinion.
Nope, no one cares. So, do you feel better about this show than you did last week, Matt?
I feel a little better, but they've got to keep introducing these characters from my past to keep it interesting.
I also feel better, but I would say I have no confidence that I will feel better after episode 4. I think I probably just liked this episode because it had Steel. Yeah. So I think it's entirely possible that I might get up Sunday morning, watch the next episode, and be like, Matt, we don't need to record on this.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing, Bob. They have introduced Hank Henshaw, Cyborg Superman. Not as Cyborg Superman. They've introduced John Henry. Who are we waiting on next?
You excited for Kal-El, Connor Kent, Superboy?
Yeah.
The Metropolis Kid?
Yeah, I bet they clone him at some point.
I feel like that might be further out, because I feel like they have to deal with... And I also feel like Superboy doesn't hit as much of as a character when your Superman is a child.
Yeah, that's true. But also, who the Eradicator, Bob? We got to get the Eradicator in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if and how they do the Eradicator on this show.
Yeah, if they're going to do a Superboy, they may do a literal Superboy.
So like a 5-year-old is...
Yeah, one that can hang out with the other kid. Flip. The newsboys, yeah, the news kids.
Flip, yeah, the news kid legion.
Oh, mark my words, Reign of the Supermen is coming.
reign of three Supermen and a super child. Or actually, you know what? Maybe they're going to do Reign of the Supermen, but they'll just do it with Supergirl as either the Eradicator or Superboy.
Oh, now there's a good idea. Oh, Bob, one thing before we close up here, what's with Superman's new power he has? He apparently can like he creates a shield around him that can protect things. Like, he goes and grabs Silas and, like, the blue light comes all around him.
I think sometimes people have theorized that Superman's invulnerability sort of works that way. Like, if he's, like, holding someone when he's flying, like, they participate in his invulnerability.
I think that is what they're going for, because they use that same thing to contain the explosion or the fusion.
I wonder if that's just a more visual way to represent that idea.
They made a big ass deal about it. I'm just saying, the first part when he rescues Silas.
Man, I was in the other room making coffee.
I was making coffee.
Now, that's why I have you here, Matt, to be honest. All right, Matt's extended his blue screen of actually watching the screen for the entire time to protect me and my otherwise dangerous ignorance. And this has been Uncanny Treks, covers Superman 2023. We'll see you next week. Maybe, maybe not.
Thanks for listening.